key to all of this is a recognition that not all tobacco is created equal in terms of formulation and marketing.
That's right. Menthol in cigarettes and other tobaccos has historically been used to target the Black community in particular through advertising, retailer density, coupons and discounts and price promotions, all sought to drive consumption by African-American smokers.
Is there anything in particular about menthol itself other than the cultural connotations, everything you just laid out? Is there anything more addictive about it, an easier path to smoking?
Yes, that's a great point. Menthol creates a cooling sensation for the user, and so it makes it easier to start smoking. That's one of the reasons more than half of all youth start smoking with menthol cigarettes. It's also used disproportionately by women and the LGBTQ community. It's also been shown to make it harder to quit. So there's research showing that African-American smokers who smoke menthol try to quit at the same rate as other smokers but are less successful, and some indication that menthol interacts with nicotine to heighten and deepen addiction.
I wanted to ask you about that part. So is there anything physically addictive about it, or is it that cool flavor pull that they've been pushing for years?
It's both. It's the cool flavor pull is what draws you in. As Dr. Phil Gardner, a Bay Area resident, says, it makes the poison go down easier. But it also does deepen addiction. And the FDA has had research showing this for many years. They've done a lot of information gathering themselves. They have their own scientific advisory committee that reviewed this issue. We have submitted thousands of pages of evidence from research papers and peer-reviewed journals showing all of these terrible effects of menthol in cigarettes and other tobacco products, and we're thrilled that the agency is finally taking action today.
Why did this take so long?
There's probably a lot of reasons. Menthol was initially carved out of the flavor ban in cigarettes in 2009 in the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act as a concession to the big tobacco companies. So they are very attached to menthol. It's a huge profit driver for them, and they have spared no expense in trying to get it exempted from laws and policies also at the state and local level. And when they can't get it exempted, they sue those jurisdictions to try to prevent the restriction from going into place. So I think they have invested tons of money in lobbying efforts and litigation efforts to prevent this from happening, and it made it difficult for the FDA to move forward with the evidence that it has and the authorities that it has to act.
Let's talk for a moment about the flavored cigars. You don't have to go very far in the streets of any city to find the wrappers on the ground. They're also used as sort of a delivery device for marijuana and other drugs. What's the issue here?
Well, if you restrict flavored cigarettes and don't address the comparable products, what you miss is the opportunity for folks to quit using tobacco altogether. So if the point is to deliver health instead of illness and death to folks, you need to address the tobacco products comprehensively. And the tobacco industry often responds to restrictions by adjusting their products to evade or avoid the restriction. And so after the cigarette restriction in 2009 for all flavors except for menthol and tobacco, there was a proliferation of little cigars that are essentially cigarettes, but they have just a little bit of tobacco in their wrapper. And so I think it's really smart of the FDA to take a bigger view of the problem and get menthol out of all these comparable products. And I think the next step after this regulation would be to extend a flavor restriction, including menthol, to all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes.